All right, so we are wrapping up a series called Understanding Your Assignment. Now, as we've talked about, you know, the Lord, through the power of the gospel, has given us something that causes us not to be in a waiting room, but to be in a training room. And to even consider the way the gospel is an investment in us, that we can even step back and consider it as a moment where we're in a boardroom, where we're looking at how we cultivate this investment, that what God has done in our lives. Yeah. But also that we can consider it like a race, like we've been given a baton, and the way we run that race is critical because we're going to pass that baton to the next generation coming behind us. And the last week, Blake talked about that we are here to make disciples. It's great to get a crowd in a room like this, but we're not here for a religious activity. Right. We're here to make disciples, to have people follow Jesus all the days of their life. Now, with all that being said, that's all well and good, but what we're going to talk about today is being spirit empowered, because we can do all those other things, but if we lack the spirit, we'll run out of gas. Yes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Amen. So we're going to come today out of the book of Acts. I'll be reading out of the CSV version. We're going to start in the very first verse, first chapter of the book of Acts. And it says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Holy Spirit, would you reveal your truth by your power on this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my main point. The only way to follow Jesus so that we can fulfill the Great Commission is by the power of the Spirit. I'll say it another way. It is our assignment to walk with, live with, and experience the Spirit. Yeah. If we look here in the book of Acts, we see here at this moment that Jesus is talking after he's been resurrected to the disciples. He stays with them for 40 days, and he's instructing them about the kingdom of God. And then from that point, from instructing them at the kingdom of God, he says, hey, you need to go to Jerusalem, stay there, for you can receive power from on high. They actually do receive power. They speak in many different tongues, a sign and a wonder, right, to those who were in the crowd, who were from different parts of the world, right, who did not speak the same language as the Galileans. From that point forward, as we proceed down into the chapter, we see Peter actually preaching through the power of the Spirit such that 3,000 people get saved. That's a great church day. That's a great Sunday. Amen. 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 Now, what are we gleaning out of this is that we see the Spirit moving in power, people getting right with God, and then those people then going out to the ends of the earth. Now, we can look at the book of Acts, and we can almost look at this, man, that's great what the Spirit did back then, but let me just take you briefly through a little bit of church history. Just in this country, we have the first and second Great Awakening that has profoundly changed and shaped this country even to this day. Yep. Signs and wonders, preaching and teaching. We also have even the, back in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival, right, which would birth what we now know as the modern Pentecostal church, represents millions of believers worldwide. What happened then? There were signs and wonders and preaching and teaching. Made a little bit less known, but more recent in the mid-90s was the Brownsville Revival, right? This happened in Pensacola, Florida, right, where tens of thousands of people got saved, experienced miracles, and what happened? There were signs and wonders, yes, and preaching and teaching. Yes. Why am I emphasizing this to you today? is because the same spirit that moved in the book of Acts, that moved through those revivals, is the same spirit that is moving with us today. And we have to believe that. I'm going to tell you this something on a personal level as we're jumping into this text, is that years ago, before I arrived here in Greenville, I got into a place where things were a little stagnant in my life. Anybody experienced a little stagnant season in their life? And in my soul, I just felt like the Lord was saying very clearly to me that there's more. There's more of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I was interested. How many of you today are interested and having a little more of the Holy Spirit? How many of you realize the seasons that we're in this country, just even our own personal lives, we need some power to get through some stuff that's not of our own accord, right? That's done by the work of the Lord that only He alone gets glorified for. We need some power in our lives. Now, here's the kind of the journey we're going to try to go through today, is that I want to show that the power of the Spirit comes in dramatic ways, but also in undramatic ways in everyday living. Good. When the Spirit comes, He frees us individually for personal flourishing, but acts corporately to unite and strengthen the body of Christ. We're going to pick it back up in the text here in verse 3. And it says, after He had suffered, He also presented Himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. We can struggle about understanding the person and the work of the Holy Spirit because, quite honestly, it ain't easy to define. Right. I mean, even Jesus said when He was speaking to Nicodemus and talking about being born again, said, you must be born of the Spirit. And the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Thanks. Amen.
Right.
Amen. But here's the truth. Here's the reality. The Spirit does move in our lives. The Spirit does move in society. Even when there's dark places, things that we think can't be broken down, the Spirit can break down any wall, right? Anything that is corrupt, anything that is foul, anything that is against the kingdom of God. And let me tell you this, if it is not approved by Jesus, it's against the kingdom of God. Now, let me just connect something really quick here, because what might help us in understanding the work of the Spirit is understanding that the centrality of our Christian faith is that we believe in a miracle. The centrality of our Christian faith is that we believe. Now, there are some who say, well, being a Christian is about doing good things. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says very clearly that we believe that God came down, bore human flesh, walked the earth perfectly, did signs and wonders, preached and taught, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, was seen alive by many convincing proofs, is what the text says. Right? And those that will believe, not by our own accord, not by what we do, right, but just by putting faith in what He has done, you're saved and you have eternal life.
Yes.
That's a miracle.
Yes, it is.
And then we doubt that the work of the Spirit can't move in our lives, right, that He can't manifest Himself any way He wants to.
Right. Yeah.
We're missing something here. If we miss, here, let me read it this because I get a little excited. Let me just say, make it clean here for you. It says, if we believe in the resurrection, we can and should believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to do dramatic things, but also more subtle, less dramatic things as well. We're going to carry on here. Verse 4, we'll pick it back up. While He was with them, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which He said, you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Now, Jesus tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we've talked about, and it's very true, that we're not here to wait. We're not in a waiting room, right? God has called us into mission. But as we know, there are seasons and times where we need to wait. There are seasons and times where we need to wait. And we especially need to wait if we're not sure that God is with us. I think about this way, is that in the book of Samuel, Saul ends up being told by Samuel, hey, you need to stay right here at the set time. I'm going to go away, and when I come back, we're going to do an offering to the Lord. I'm, Samuel, going to do an offering to the Lord. So the set time comes, Samuel's late, and Saul, King Saul, is feeling the pressure of the moment. The people are rumbling, what should I do? And he takes it upon himself to actually render the offering to the Lord. Samuel shows him, says, look, what have you done? And when that happens, right, it is actually the seed of disobedience that would lead to King Saul being taken off the throne. God wasn't in that. He wasn't being obedient. He wasn't, listen, he did not choose to wait. How many of us can appreciate it when we've taken a situation into our own hands, right, thinking that, man, I haven't heard from the Lord, or I'm not really sure what's going on. Man, we just feel the pressure of the moment, right, and we feel like we need to step in and get something done. Anybody can relate to that? But God is calling us at times to wait. Now, so the disciples go, they wait in Jerusalem. They ain't just chilling, got their feet up, like, hey, we just here. No, they're waiting a certain kind of way. When we wait on the Lord, we're waiting expectantly. If you order something from Amazon, you're expecting something to show up at your door. Many of us order, we hit click, and we don't even think about it anymore. We go, oh, we come home, oh, there's a package, I forgot all about it, I even ordered this thing. When we order something from Amazon, we expect it to show up. We should be expecting God to move. I think God is a little bit bigger, right, a little more trustworthy, even than Amazon. Yes. Even than Amazon. But what does this say to us about the importance of waiting expectantly? Right? We want to see God move in power, to see God do dramatic things. But let's be honest. Sometimes that might be a struggle if we never seen God move in big power, right? In the cosmic light show. But here's what we can do, is that we can believe God for the everyday, undramatic move of the Spirit, right? What am I trying to say to you? Make it plain, James. Say that. Make it plain, James. What I'm talking about is, when you read your Bible, do you read it expectantly? Where just a little touch of the Holy Spirit, where you're reading a scripture and your eyes are open and you see the text afresh, or there's something that you gain and you know that God is speaking to you through it, that is the power of the Spirit. Oh, it's not dramatic. You just in your room all by yourself, but that's God speaking to you, affirming that he sees you. That's the power. That is part of a Spirit-empowered life. Or when we actually decide that, hey, we're going to come to a gathering like this, do we expect anything to happen? Or are we just doing church? In Jenny's story, the reason why, in part, right, we can celebrate that moment, because when she showed up continually to life group, to Sunday morning, there was an expectation. You know, when you walk through something for a long, long time, it's easy to let that thing go. And we're going to hit that in a second. But it's easy to let that thing go. But the desire to say, look, I'm going to keep on showing up because I know you're good. The expectancy, and God delivers. The power shows up. You know, I like to pray. Some of y'all are familiar with that. But we can pray not expectantly. We can just pray and just go through the motions and say, we did it, God, and then be upset when God don't do anything. Oh, come on. I'm reading a book right now on faith by Paul Barker, and he talks about, man, even before you pray, you need to seek the Lord in such a way, you need to read scripture in such a way until you get the sense of the assurance of God, such that when you pray, you're actually praying in faith. That you're actually expecting God to hear your cry and to answer your prayer. How we wait matters. We should wait with expectancy. Now, as I've said, sometimes in our lives, we are going through things and it's hard to wait. But I'm going to just share this story about my folks. When we've waited long enough and we feel like, man, we just need to give up. Some of you know the story. My mom and dad, who are here today, they actually got divorced back in 2004. It became official. And like any kid, right, you pray and you ask God that, you know, he would do something miraculous, right? Most of us realize that when folk get divorced, that's usually a wrap. But I'm praying and believing God that something dramatic will happen. And I pray, and the years go by, and I get to a point probably 2-3 years after praying regularly, and I get to this place where I'm like, well, you know, things are pretty good. You know, nobody's hostile. They both come to know Jesus. We can actually gather together in the holidays, and it's civil. Praise God.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That in itself is a miracle. But as events of life would have it, my dad ends up moving down here in 2018. And my mom will tell you this. She'll tell you this even now. She's a city girl. So the idea of her coming to Greenville, North Carolina from Washington, D.C. suburbs was just like, that's a miracle in and of itself. But we go visit her back in last year, about a year and a half ago, and I remember her saying to me, you know, I'm thinking about changing some stuff up. I might consider coming on down to Greenville. I'm thinking, are you sure? Little did I know, God was working in her. God was working in my dad. And I got the honor, 17 years to the month of when they got divorced, to remarry them last year. Now, you can celebrate that, and it's amazing. But here's what you really need to celebrate, is that when I had given up, God hadn't given up. See, we don't have to worry sometimes that, man, we got to get it all right or get it all together. Sometimes God will just do it because he loves us. He wants to show you how good he is, how bad he is. He'll show himself out. God will sometimes will show out even we have given up on him. And that ought to encourage you today is that wherever you're at, God still sees you. Your circumstances still matter to him. That he can still come in power to change things in your life. God is good.
Yes, he is.
I know some of you are saying, you know, James, that's great. That's an awesome story. Praise God for you. But what about when you've been waiting and change doesn't come? What about when the journey gets real on that level? You know, there comes a place in our journey with Jesus where to live a spirit-empowered life, it's not because God changes all of our circumstances, but that we can walk even in the face of affliction. Because at the end of the day, it's not the circumstances that we value, it's that we have been saved and that we will see Jesus face to face one day. I'm not sure if she's here today, and I hope if she's okay if I use her as an example, but Sandra Stinson is an amazing testimony to that honor. If you know anything about her journey, right, you know that she's asking God and believing God for healing in her feet. But yet, I see this same woman on her feet praying for people, on her bicycle. Yes. Still working, still believing that God has a plan for her in the kingdom. There's something sweet and fragrant about the aroma of someone in the midst of their affliction. Still can say, it is well with my soul. God is still good. That's a spirit-empowered life. Doesn't mean that everything is right in your life. It's that you have so come enraptured and in love with Jesus. You know what he's done in your life over the years. And that you have given your whole heart and life over to him. And you know that he's good. And you know that you will see him. That when you close your eyes from this place and your eyes open, you will see him face to face. That's a spirit-empowered life. A fragrant aroma of someone who has loved Jesus and has walked with him for so many years. Praise the Lord. Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
Praise God. We're going to pick it up here in verse 6, and it says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority.'" It's interesting here that in the text it says that the disciples had spent time with Jesus, had been instructed in the kingdom of God. Jesus told them to wait, and their question to Jesus is, "Will now you restore the kingdom of Israel to us?" We can spend time with God in such a way that we can still miss the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. We can spend time with Jesus in such a way that without the work of the Spirit to change our mindset, we can still operate apart from the kingdom of God. So let me make it plain to you this way. So in so many ways in our society today, there are a number of people that are desiring, right, for the church to be incredibly political. So much so that they can pull a little Jesus in it. But as long as we really getting this political agenda done, that's the kingdom. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Or some of us are so enraptured with certain ideologies, right, that it may be something related to ethnicity or race, so much so that we'll bring Jesus on in the picture, but as long as that agenda is being done, that's the kingdom. See, the Spirit is all about the one and only kingdom of God, where Jesus alone is on the throne, where he alone is the Lord and Savior of all. And the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives such that there is actually conviction of sin so that we get conformed more into the image of Christ. Because here's the thing, we all have little kingdoms that we'd like to be a king or queen of. There are dreams that we have, maybe even things like careers and just even the idea of the American dream, which we all swim in that water, right, can be something that is opposing the kingdom of God. And the Spirit helps to bring revelation, helps to challenge our mindset and thinking such that we get conformed more into the image of Christ and we see things for what they are. And our ultimate anchoring, trust, and security is in the finished work of Christ, not in these other ideologies, not in our ethnicity ultimately, though God loves the nations and ethnicities.
Yes, he does.
But he wants us to be rooted and grounded in the truth, the only bedrock of truth, and that is in the person and the work of Christ.
Yes.
And it's from that place that we can step into some of these places and in that place of security, right, be a beacon of hope, right? Be a beacon of truth, right? Extend grace and love that others might come to know Jesus.
Good,
James. I didn't like that one. Y'all got quiet on me.
Needed it.
Let's pick it up in verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Just want to read this to you. I don't know if it'll get put up on the screen. It says, a spirit-empowered life in many ways is a fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer. The Spirit of God doesn't drop a kingdom down, but he shows up breaking into the physical world. The Spirit is to be experienced here in the physical world. The Spirit will encounter the people of God in such a way to transform them and others. When the Spirit breaks in, he typically manifests himself in a tangible way. When the Spirit convicts of sin, while that change of heart and mind can't be seen because it's inward, however, our change actions represent a turn away from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. More dramatically, the Spirit will show up through miracles, signs, and wonders. when the power of God came upon the disciples, later on in the text, they spoke in different tongues, different languages, right? There was a language barrier that would have prevented them from connecting and telling them the good news of Jesus. But the Spirit came to break down that barrier. I want to focus on that word barrier, right? Because everything that we face in our lives, right, that is opposing the kingdom of God is a barrier. And the only way that barrier can be broken down is by the power of the Spirit. What am I saying? You know, you've got some relational barriers maybe in your life, whether that's coworkers, family members, right? There may be financial barriers that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with today. Maybe there's health barriers that you're dealing with. We just heard an amazing testimony, right, of Jenny Kelly, the barrier for 35 years of her life dealing with depression and anxiety. And God broke that barrier. It's the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit to break the barriers. Let me just tell you a little bit of what I've seen and heard, what I've come to know and believe. I've seen people get prayed for and get healed. I've seen people speak to me about things that will come in the future and it come to pass. I've seen other people do it for others who needed a word in season. I've seen other people get filled such that they are overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord in such a way there's a new freedom that they're walking into in their lives. This is the power of the Spirit that is alive and well today. So when we go to the different places in our lives, God has the expectation that he can show up and move in those situations. Do we have that expectation that God will move in those situations? Let's kind of make it plain. What is our Jerusalem for us? What does Jerusalem signify for you and I? Maybe it's a place like where we're at today, right here in GCF. Do we believe that God can use you to lay a hand on somebody for healing? Do you believe that? Well, maybe your Jerusalem is something different, but maybe it's like someplace in Judea. Judea representing something like our family relationships. Many of us got some situations in our family that could use the power of the Spirit. Do we believe that God can show up to give somebody in our family a word, right, that can change their mindsets and set them free? Do you believe that today? Maybe your Judea looks like something like this. Our son Matthew just started 2 weeks ago at Rose High School, and I was standing outside in car booth looking like, Lord, can you do it here? Where are my educators at? Do you believe that the Lord could give you a word to speak something to a student to encourage them? Yeah. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? In your workplace, good, your Judea, right? Do we see our different spheres relationally to believe that God can move in those circumstances and use you? Yes. Anybody else here today? Yeah. The Son has set everything free because of the power of the gospel. And the Spirit is moving freely, yeah, if we'll believe. What does God want to do in our Samaria, those places that have different ideologies, that are opposed to the kingdom of God, right? That may be different ethnically, places that maybe we don't really want to go to. Right. Would God use you in such a way to create boldness through the Spirit to go and be a light in those places? Yes, he would use you. Yes. What about to the ends of the earth? There are nations, different cities, that God wants to plant churches in. Could God use you? Yes, he could use you by the power of the Spirit. Yeah. Do we believe in this place today? Yeah. Do we want to see the power of God in the city? We've been called to reach the city to change the world. But we got to believe that the Spirit can help us do it. Not in your strength. I ain't got enough strength. You look at these arms, you know they ain't strong enough. But by the power of God, we can do it. Let me just give us a couple of things here, and then we'll close. We look at the book of Acts, and man, we memorialize the book of Acts, and in many ways we should. It's holy scripture. Yeah. But we look at the book of Acts and say, man, that was awesome what they did back then. Right. Same God, same Jesus God. Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these awesome, and this is what God has been impressing upon my heart. All I'm asking you to do is believe. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's it. Why am I not just believing? It's just that it. That's what brings us into eternal life. Believe. What's going to see the power of God move. Here, even in the United States, is believe. Will we believe? It's interesting that in the book of Acts, it really covers a period of about 32 years. So we almost have this warped impression of the book of Acts, like everybody was raised from the dead every day. It's not the case. It happened over 32 years. What's interesting enough, and it's just a coincidence, I think, but it actually parallels the length of time this church happens to have been in existence. If we were to condense the history of GCF Church into 27 chapters, or 29, however many chapters were in the book of Acts, 28, thank you, 28 chapters, would we not see some dramatic things?
Yes.
Would we not see some undramatic things? God just moving faithfully in the lives of believers? Yes, we would. So we don't have to have this picture of, man, we've got to do it like in Acts. We just need to believe in the God who was in Acts, that's still alive and well today. Here are a couple of things to think about why we don't walk in the Spirit. And I'm just going to run through these really quick. Why do we lack the power of the Spirit in our lives? Sometimes we're in a dry season, amen? And what can help us might be to maintain or increase our fellowship. And we need to realize that spirit and the physical world are not these separate things. They're related. So sometimes what we need is just better rest. That'll help you out. You're just running all the time. You're going to be hard to be spiritually filled because your physical body does matter. That's number one. Unbelief, number two. It doesn't always line up with rational thinking. That can be hard for us. But in the same way, center of Christianity is the fact that there's a miracle. We just need to believe in what God has done. Number three, we can resist confession and repentance. I love it in the book of Acts. Stephen in chapter 7 says, the Pharisees, y'all are always resisting the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We know sometimes God has been telling us something, we didn't do it. God meets us, though, at the place of repentance. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Number four, limited understanding of the Spirit. That could be due to church tradition, right? I came out of a church tradition that didn't believe in the gifts at all. And it took me a while to get to a place in my mindset where I could be like, y'all not crazy, right? No, y'all not crazy. Y'all believe in Jesus and the power? I want some of that. Believe there is more. Number five, seems easier just to do it on our own. We are Americans. DIY, baby. We like to do it ourselves, right? But we know that there is a way that we think is right, the Bible says, but the end is destruction. Last thing, how do we better experience and walk with the Spirit? Here's the thing we need to make sure we remember, that this is about relationship. To be Spirit-empowered is not something to be grasped, but believing and allowing ourselves to be given over to Him, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We need to, number two, reset our expectation to believe He wants to encounter us and use us. God often moves in community. Get around people. I'm going to say that one more time. Get around people He seemed to be walking by the Spirit, and then you take a step of faith. Last thing, we're going to pray. I love to pray. Helps us to create the conditions to hear God. Jesus encouraged us to pray without ceasing. Let me pray for us. Close your eyes. Jesus, we thank you. You're good. You are the same God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Your great love never fails. Lord, you are passionate. Your flaming eyes of fire. Lord, you see us. You love us. You see the lost and the broken. Lord, you are working every day to see this earth claimed for your glory. Hallelujah. With your eyes remaining closed, we're just going to just wait on the Holy Spirit for just a second. Can we just see whatever the Lord has put on your heart, or maybe something that has resonated with you in this time together today? Let Him just speak to you for a moment. Jesus, we give you permission to change us. Lord, we acknowledge our need for you, and we desire more of the Spirit, Lord, which you do exceedingly abundantly that we can ask or think. Lord, that you will use this house for your glory to reach this city to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.
Amen. Pastor James, great word. Thank you. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet as we close? What we're going to do this morning, if you'll notice in the back, we have our life groups up. We'd love for you to check those out. If you're not involved in one, please sign up for one. This is where life happens and where we get changed is through relationships. You have a gift, a calling, a destiny, a purpose, and that can help others grow. Amen? So we're going to do that. We're going to get ready to play some music, but we're also going to take some time while people are doing that. We're going to leave the altars open. Some of our life group leaders and pastors, we want to come up. And some of you need a touch from the power of the Spirit this morning. Even as Pastor James was talking about the Holy Spirit and encountering the Spirit, something stirring in you, you're not maybe sure what that is. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you that you might experience the power of the Spirit. So we're going to do that right immediately following the service as I close. And then thirdly, James said something even as we were closing, that you might hear the Spirit. And some of us struggle with that. Have we heard the Lord? What does that look like? This Wednesday night, we're going to do a teaching on hearing God, a panel on that. And then we're going to do some activation so that we can cultivate that in our own lives. Amen. How many of y'all know we all need to hear God more? Yes. Amen. So we're lean into that this coming Wednesday night. So thank you so much for being here this morning. We've got baptisms next week. If you want to get baptized, it's not too late. You can sign up on the app, and we'll do that at the end of the service next Sunday. You guys have an amazing morning. Check out the life groups in the back. We'll see you next week.